You know, I've got good news for parents this morning. Talking about Mary, did you know that you would be the mother of the Son of God? Yesterday, I was at a Christmas party, and I was talking to a young couple. They have a newborn and then a child maybe 2 years older than the newborn, and they were sharing with me how blessed they are to be parents and given the not only responsibility but the awesome privilege to model before their children, to raise those children. And I said to them, I got good news for you. There have been recent surveys conducted that has shown that most children, when they have to look up to somebody, they look up to their parents. Now, they may not say it, and I know that's not the case in every situation, but as they say in England, in the main, most kids, when asked, who do you look up to? They say, my parents. Now, they may not always share that, and generally they don't, but the surveys have shown that that's what they feel in their heart, and that's what they feel in their minds, that they look up to their parents. Now, there are times, and being a father myself, when you look at their behavior, you wonder, are they really gleaning from me and my wife as a model? We have to realize that kids also have modeling in their schools, and they get to see things, and oftentimes they forget, and in order to be popular and accepted, they wind up following maybe poor examples, even though they respect the modeling of their parents. And it takes them a while to actually understand that deep down inside, what's most important is not what you see people do, but what's going on the inside of a person. What is that person made of? Because anybody could be a class clown. I bet you there's a few of you here this morning. And I've been known in my school years to be in that highly esteemed group of people. But to have somebody with integrity and somebody who knows how to say no when they shouldn't do something and say yes when they should may not always be the most popular person in the school. But it takes a while for our kids to come to the realization that we need to look for more than just the most popular, most funny, the most outlandish person in the class. And I think that's what I was preaching about last week when I spoke about John the Baptist along the Jordan River. And I spoke about trends. That I talked about hula hoops and poodle skirts and mini skirts and long hair and sideburns and all that. And each generation has a trend or a fad that's in one generation and out the next, and a new fad comes in. And one thing that John the Baptist was asking of the people who were along the Jordan River that day was, I'm not interested in fads. I'm not interested in trends. I'm not interested in what you look like on the outside. God is calling for you. If you're going to come in here and be baptized by me, God is asking for a change on the inside. And God is still asking for that today. So my message last week could easily transcend and transition into my message this morning. Unfortunately, the most popular woman who ever lived, and it's not Lady Gaga, okay, so you can relax, is rarely looked upon as a role model. The most popular and perhaps most significant woman who ever lived is rarely looked upon as a role model. She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't a celebrity. She wasn't, there's an image, by the way, I put up there. I think Mary would have looked a lot like that and not Tab Hunter's wife. Okay? She looked very Palestinian, Sephardic. She wasn't a celebrity. She probably wasn't outstanding in appearance. She had a limited education. She was unknown outside of her little hick town, and yet she had an inner beauty that apparently impressed God greatly. Her inner beauty was so awesome that she was chosen to be the mother of the most important person of all time, the Savior of the world. Of course, I'm speaking of Mary again. And this morning, as I shared, as the Dodge family came down to light that third candle on this third Sunday of Advent, I mentioned that traditionally many call that third candle, that pink candle, the Mary candle. And so it's good to remember this woman. Mary's faith and Mary's obedience should stand out even 20 centuries later as a role model for us as Christians. Now, many of you know that I grew up Roman Catholic. And if you didn't, well, you know now. And Catholics hold Mary in a very high regard. And I was thinking, I'm not suggesting that we pray to Mary, though the Catholics do, and I don't fault them for that. I believe in many ways to do so is contrary to Protestant theology, and I get all that. But I also feel that the Protestant Church, in many ways, places Mary in a position of obscurity with little or no recognition, except when we do the Christmas pageants or we talk about her in a sermon. She kind of falls in the background, and she's not truly recognized for who she really was and is today. And I do believe there's something we can learn from our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters regarding this matter. So here's what I believe. I believe God's favor is especially experienced more by people who respond in faith. People who are full of faith, people who are obedient, people who are willing to step out into the unknown, knowing that God's got this, He's got my back, experience the most favor. So when the angel Gabriel, as was read just a little while ago, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he told her, he said, "You are highly favored." In other words, Gabriel was saying to Mary, "You are favored by God." That's a beautiful experience. I hope all of you know that when you're faithful and you're obedient, you're definitely favored by God. And she was favored, not just because she was about to do something that was very significant, to carry the Son of God for 9 months and give birth to that child in a little town called Bethlehem on that first Christmas evening, but because of a life she was already living. Mary was already living a life of faith and obedience. Now, we don't know much about Mary up to this point. We do know more about her as time goes on and as her son grows up and he enters the ministry, and there's information. But up to this point, we know very little about her. But in her short life, when Gabriel visited her, do you realize that this kid was only about 14 or 15 years old? She was a teenager. And she must have already exhibited an extraordinary amount of faith and love of God. Think of it. Out of all the women that the Holy Spirit or Gabriel the angel could have visited on behalf of God, out of all the women, and I understand the genealogy context found in Matthew's gospel, who the Savior would come through and so forth. I get that. But out of all the women that God could have visited to bear his son, he chose Mary. I think it's very important to point out that God's favor came to Mary, even though she came from a modest means. She came from that little village. By the way, that if you could see it, there's a photo there that was taken back in the late 1800s. Nazareth was a little hole in the wall of a place. And I would tell you, it's a built-up city now. If you go to Nazareth today, it's a built-up place. But there was nothing to Nazareth. Do you remember when someone said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, that's like some. Can anything good come out of Podunk, Georgia? Well, a lot of good comes out of Brooklyn. Don't mess with Brooklyn now. But look up at your screen. You'll see I gleaned just a little bit of information, archaeological research, that in the time of Mary, there was only about 120 to 150 people living in that village. It was a tiny little enclave, and it was away from the trade route. In other words, the Via Maris, the way of the sea, where from the north to the south, from Egypt up to Syria and Lebanon, so, or from the north down to the south, the trade route used to go by the Sea of Galilee. And that's why Matthew was a tax collector, because there were a lot of taxes. It would be like setting up a toll booth in Podunk, Georgia. Nobody goes through there. But you could set up a toll booth at the Holland Tunnel, because people are going in and out of Manhattan. It's a big, major route. Nobody went through Nazareth. You know, my first church I pastored in Glen Cove, Long Island, and I want to tell you something. It's not a destination place. If you're not going to Glen Cove for a reason, you're not going to Glen Cove. It's off the beaten trail, and the same with Nazareth. And this is where Mary came from. How many know that the Jews never buried the dead inside the walls of the city? They were always buried outside the walls of the city. So just looking at the tombs that they uncovered in Nazareth, they were able to surmise that the circumference of Nazareth in the time of Jesus and Mary was only about 2,000 feet by 650 feet. That's 10 acres of land. And that's where this woman came from. And yet God visits a young teenage girl named Mary in such a place to bear his son, the Son of God. Why is that? It's because Mary was faithful and obedient. And he knew it, and God chose her. Now, I want to say it doesn't matter how old we are. She was a teenager. Okay, Abraham was in his mid-70s when he was used by God, and Moses was 80 years old when God called him out and told him to lead his people out of captivity. So whether you're a teenager or a 75 or an 80-year-old, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we come from, the boondocks, the suburbs, the inner city, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how smart we are. We could have a PhD from Harvard, or we could have a 10th grade education. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. We could be Bill Gates or George Soros, or we could be working two jobs just to meet our needs of our family. It doesn't matter what a person looks like. We could be a Brad Pitt, or we could be a plain Jane, or a plain Joe. God is looking for persons of faith and obedience. That's what God searches for. Doesn't matter how much money we have, where we come from, what we look like, how much education we have, how many titles we have before and after our name. God's not impressed with that, I can assure you. God is not impressed that I have a doctorate, okay? He doesn't go, "Oh man, he really is..." Doesn't really care. There are people out there with a second grade education that are doing a lot more than I am. It just doesn't matter. He's looking for the heart, as John the Baptist said last week. He's looking for what's going on the inside. So what is faith? Believing and trusting enough that whatever God said will come to pass. When God says something, God means it. So when you look in the Word of God and you read the Scriptures and He makes these promises, He's basically saying, do you believe it or not? Now, after the angel visited Mary and told her that she would bear God's son, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Brenda read that just a little while ago. She was also pregnant for 6 months. She was barren. She was up there in age. And yet God gave her a child, John the Baptist. And listen to what Elizabeth's response was when Mary visited her cousin. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will come to pass or be accomplished. That Mary believed it. Now, if that's not faith, I don't know what is. Not knowing what's in store, but just stepping out and trusting. Remember, the angel Gabriel told Mary something that was humanly impossible. She would become pregnant without a man, and that that child would be the Son of God. Imagine if you were awakened in the middle of the night and told that. Not the guys, I'm talking about the women. Could you imagine? Yes, she questioned the angel. The angel told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. There wasn't a whole lot of details provided in the text that we have. All Mary knew was that with God, nothing's impossible. And she truly believed it. And she stepped out in faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter, if you will. And listen to what it says. What is faith in verse 6? It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is actually going to happen. It is the evidence of things that we can't see. That's what faith is really about. Because if we could touch and feel and know everything that's going to happen, what kind of faith is that? It's the assurance that we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we can't see. God gave his approval to the people in the days of old. Why? Because of their faith. And then he goes on to say, it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's what faith is about, stepping out. And just like in Mary's case, God continues to give his favor to those who have faith and trust and who are obedient to God's will. Now listen, it's one thing to believe something, but it's another thing to put that belief into practice. So, what am I saying? Faith must be active. Mary was willing to not just receive the word from Gabriel, but she stepped out and she would endure things because of her decision to be obedient. Because you see, faith is more than just believing in something. Faith must be lived out in our lives. Our actions should reflect what we truly believe. You see, we could believe the earth is round, and I do. I hope you do too. But it doesn't necessarily change how I live my life knowing that the earth is round. The earth being round puts no demands on my life at all. And yet it's a truth, and I believe it. Faith is very different than just knowing and believing a truth. Mary had to step into that faith and change and adjust her life. She responded with a willingness to do whatever God wanted her to do. And Lord knows she was given an awesome responsibility. And so our Catholic brothers and sisters have it right. She is blessed amongst women. She is special. And I hope the Protestants get that. Because like I said, oftentimes we don't. What was Mary's response? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I'm your servant, Lord. I don't fully understand it. I don't get it. Mary didn't just believe the impossible would happen, that she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She was willing to be a vessel which God would accomplish his divine plan to save the world. What an incredible faith on the part of this teenage girl. You see, she had to step out and not know what the future held, and she had to trust that her soon-to-be husband, Joseph, would believe her story. Could you imagine? Joseph, I'm pregnant and God's the father. Okay. Could you imagine having to go to him? And by the way, Joseph isn't given a whole lot of time. in our faith story either. What an incredible man. He's visited also, and he takes his wife to be, in spite of the fact that she was pregnant, not by him, but by God. She had to trust that Joseph wouldn't divorce her. She had to trust that he wouldn't expose her to the community. And even facing the possibility of being shunned, and by the way, she could have been stoned to death for becoming pregnant outside of marriage. Mary was willing to be the gossip of the town, to be ridiculed and judged at the well by the other women, and to be excommunicated from her community. No matter what way you look at it, it was going to be tough for Mary. But because of her faith, she said, "Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but if you said it, I believe it, and I'm going to step out in faith." And that's exactly what she did. So we honor Mary this morning. She was willing to put her faith into action. So I want to ask you this question. What does this third Sunday of Advent say to us? It's a great story about Mary. I've heard it a million times. I've read it thousands of times. But what does it say to us on this third Sunday of Advent? Well, I read a story. You see a guy on a tightrope there? That's Niagara Falls. And I read this story just this week. That's in the late 1800s. He was successful in crossing Niagara Falls on a tightrope before it became popular. And the crowd was just so impressed. So he decided to do something even more challenging. He said, "I'm going to walk across Niagara Falls while pushing a wheelbarrow." So the crowd was all excited. And he picked out one of the most excited people in the crowd. And he says, "Do you believe that I could accomplish this?" And the guy fervently said, "Yes." He said, "Then get in the wheelbarrow." "Yeah, I believe you could do it, man, but not with me in that wheelbarrow." You see, that's what real faith is about. I'm trusting so much that I am going to get in that wheelbarrow. Faith is more than just believing in our head, friends. Faith involves our actions. Will we live our lives differently because of what we believe? That's what John the Baptist was asking last week. Will we change our priorities so they fall in line with God's? Are we willing to allow God to change our character so we look more like Jesus and less than the world? Will we love God and others by treating those around us like Jesus would treat them? You know, it's an interesting thing. I was reading James chapter 2, verse 14 just this week, and listen to what it says. "What good is it if a person claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or without daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and keep well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." Now, many of you may know it as faith without works is dead. Same scripture verse. Our faith should affect our head cognitively. We get it, just like reading a textbook. It should affect our heart. It should travel that 18 inches from our brain down to our heart. And yes, it should affect our hands. Our head, what we believe about God. Our heart, do we have compassion to reach others for Christ? And our hands, what do we do with our faith? How do we live out our faith? Faith without works is dead. How do we not fall into that? Mary is one heck of a role model as to what faith and obedience looks like. Remember, she was a common woman. And look what God did in and through this little teenage girl who had a rock solid faith in God. Are we willing to do whatever God asks us to do? Is our faith on this third Sunday of Advent in our head, in our heart, and in our hands. That's the challenge, my friends. I hope we receive it and step into it with the faith and obedience as witnessed and modeled through the life of Mary. Amen.